Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad.
Amazing why. Yeah, yeah. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. Thanks for tuning in if you just tuned in. If you just tuned in, you're going to get really smart. I promise you, those of you who've already been listening, you know what I'm talking about. You can feel the brain power almost coming out of your ears, can't you? That's what happens when you listen to the Small Business Advocate Show, because when you do, you get to hear people like Matthew Cartwright, who's one of our resident attorneys.
Right, and a lot of ZZ Top.
That's right. That's right. We don't miss the ZZ Top. See, folks, our guests are so excited about being here. They just can't wait to get on. He's one of the partners in Munley and Cartwright, a law firm in the great state of Pennsylvania, and he's our good friend. Matthew, welcome back.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you back.
Well, good. How's your new book selling, Jim?
It's doing really well, even though I really haven't announced it very much. I guess eventually I need to tell my audience about the new book. I haven't done that yet, but you're right. It's called 3 Minutes to Success, and it's available. It really isn't available in the bookstores yet. We're getting it out there right now. So I didn't want to tease them about it too much, Matthew, because it's kind of mean to tell them about the book, and you know you got millions of people clamoring for a book and they can't find it. So we're going to be down your door. That wasn't supposed to be funny, Matthew. But we're going to be launching it real soon. Now you've got some news. Now, folks, you would think that Matt being on this show every 6 weeks or so would be plenty for him in terms of 15 minutes of fame. But Matt, now you tell me that you've gone over to the dark side. You're working with TV. What's that all about?
Oh yeah, here in the northeastern part of Pennsylvania, we have the major TV outlets, and they just mm-hmm. named me the legal analyst on the local CBS affiliate, WYOU. So I'm on every night, you know, between sports and weather, answering questions that the viewers email in, like the neighbor's dogs are barking all night. What can
right.
I do about it?
Right.
They give me about 25 seconds to answer each one of them. So, you know.
Well, you know,
I had a
dog barking thing in my life when the first home I ever owned was on the corner, and so the house behind me, you know, our backyards, their side yard backed up into my backyard, and they had a dog that would sit out there and bark all the time, and so all night long. And so, you know what I did? I called him up every time the dog woke me up. I called him up, and I said,
"Make sure he was up too."
I sure did. I said, "If your dog were quiet, you would be asleep right now." And guess what? That ended the dog barking.
Oh man!
After a few times, but anyway. So what's one of the things I know we want to talk about today, Matthew, are contracts. The last time you and I were here, we were talking about contracts. I was talking about some contracts that I had seen where I felt that the company sending me the contract was not the company so much, but the attorneys who were working for them were trying to basically get an unfair advantage of me. They were, for example, the one example was that they wanted there was an indemnification clause in there, which I'll let you tell the audience what that means in a minute. But it was not a mutual indemnification; it was a unilateral indemnification, me against them, but not them. Me for them, not them for me. In other words, we want you to be our partner, but we don't want to be your partner.
Well, you know, I keep telling you, Jim, people who are small business people often have some trepidation, have some intimidation about law and lawyers and the justice system. But I keep telling you, they have nothing to fear from us. It's the big business, the overreaching big businesses that they have to deal with and compete with. That's the real threat to the small business person. And something like, you know, these business contracts that you're talking about is a great example of why you need to know the law when you're dealing with somebody with a huge amount of excess bargaining power over what you have to deal with.
You know, one thing about it, though, that I found, Matt, and just to be fair about this, the big companies that I do business with on a regular basis, they don't send me contracts like that.
Right.
So my point is, it's not all companies do that, but some of them do. And what happens is, by the time they get to that point, by the time the small business owner gets to a contract stage, they're really excited about doing business with this big company because it's good business. But then here comes this part of the contract that's really unfair, really unreasonable, and they're at that stage in the game, they're afraid to bring it up. They're afraid to say anything about it. When we come back, I'm going to get you to help us fix that and also help us find some other areas and contracts that we need to be paying attention to. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's a big TV star now. Stay with us.
Show free to get ready now. Go cat, go, but don't you step on my blue
face. We're back. It's Mr. Carl Perkins, the late great Carl Perkins, rocking, doing a little rockabilly behind you there. 17 Till, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He is one of the partners with Munley and Cartwright, and he's an attorney in the Pennsylvania part of the world. And we're talking about contracts, and what do you think a small business owner should do, Matt, when they get a contract from anybody, a business contract from anybody, that has language that we're not happy with? Of course, should we turn it over to our attorney and let them fight it out with the attorneys? That always makes me nervous.
Well, it can be expensive too. I don't think that's always necessary. The first thing, knowledge is power, and the first thing you do is figure out what the law is to the extent you can on your own. And I can tell you that a lot of provisions in contracts are unconscionable, is what they call them, and therefore they're unenforceable. And let me give you a good example of that. I was just looking at that this morning. We had a case in Pennsylvania that is a common situation. You have a form presented to you. It's got all of this light print boilerplate on the back of it. Okay, one of the provisions might be a forum selection clause. That is, if there's a dispute between the parties, this here court has jurisdiction and everybody has to go to that court to solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was a case involving the lease of a fax machine. It's not a whole lot of money involved. Okay, and a boilerplate forum selection clause on the back of this form said that any dispute had to be litigated in the Circuit Court of Randolph County, Missouri.
Wow.
So the fax machine breaks, can't be fixed. The plaintiff sends it back and stops paying. The leasing company then sues them in Randolph County, Missouri for $1,700, which is the remaining balance on the lease. Now, Jim, I want to tell you, Randolph County, Missouri, is a nice place.
It's a long way from Pennsylvania, though, isn't it?
The county seat is Moberly, which is a pretty town. The courthouse is attractive, and they have a really nice statue of General Omar Bradley there. but you're right. It's an awful long way from Pennsylvania, and if you have to hire a lawyer there and fly out there a couple of times from Pennsylvania or anywhere in the country, you've gone through that $1,700 and more.
And that makes a lot of people just go ahead and pay it and get it off their back, doesn't it, rather than fight it?
Exactly. And the long and the short of it is the Pennsylvania Appellate Court struck down that provision because it's not fair. It's unconscionable because it's not fair, and it's also boilerplate. It wasn't bargained for.
Right.
And there are a lot of
the small business person signed the contract, and maybe they didn't like it, but they actually were able to come back and get some kind of relief from that.
Exactly. And that set a precedent, and I think that applies pretty much in most states. You see something like that, and you can just look at it and realize, the courts are not going to enforce that. And you can tell the whoever you're trading with, look, let's just cross this out. This is ridiculous.
Right. I remember, you know, we talked a little bit about the indemnification. If the indemnification is unilateral, would a court look at that and say, you know what, this should have been bilateral?
Well,
this should have been a mutual indemnification.
That's a closer case, Jim. It doesn't jump off the page at you that's unfair. And what you want to do, and what we can talk about a little bit later in the show, is what are the factors? What do you need to show to prove unconscionability in a provision in a contract?
Right.
While we're on the topic, indemnification just means holding harmless. If something goes wrong, you're there to back up the other guy.
Right, and it also lets the world know that if I make a mistake that potentially connects to you, that I'm saying that I'm going to protect them from letting my mistake get to them, and it not only tells me that, it basically tells the world that too, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. A typical example is if you're in a business of renting out power equipment. Well, the power equipment manufacturer who sells you the equipment to rent out will typically indemnify you if something goes wrong with the equipment. It's a design defect or a manufacturing defect. They will indemnify you as the renter of the equipment because it's their problem.
Right, right. Yeah. All right, so what are some you were going to tell us you were going to talk to us more about the unconscionable part.
Well, sure. What you look for to invalidate a provision in a contract is unconscionability, and there are two parts to it. There's substantive unconscionability, which is unfair and unreasonable contract terms, and you also look for procedural unconscionability, and that's the circumstances surrounding the formation of the contract that show that the parties really didn't come to an agreement on that provision. No meeting of the minds could have taken place surrounding this provision. And obviously, when it's in light print on the back of a contract, these guys didn't talk about that.
Right. What about all the fine, teeny tiny print on a bank contract?
Well, there again, that is.
I mean, there's like a million words on those things.
Exactly, and that is one of the factors. When you're talking about procedural unconscionability, you're talking about the age of the parties, the education, the intelligence, the experience, the relative bargaining power.
You like getting those deals, don't you, where a small business owner is suing a bank. You like that, don't you?
I love it.
But you like those cases.
Conspicuousness is important.
Stand by. We're going to talk some more about this unconscionable thing. That's kind of a new language there, isn't it, folks? We're going to talk about that right after these messages. It's Tintel. I'm Jim Blassingame. Matthew Cartwright is our guest. Stay with us. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog. You can get both of those for free at our website, and plus lots of other stuff that will help you out with your business. It's all free thanks to my organization and our outstanding corporate partners. And Matthew Cartwright is our guest. He's one of our top Brain Trust members. He's an attorney and a partner with Munley and Cartwright, a law firm in Scranton, Pennsylvania, right?
Right, Scranton. We have seven offices in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Congratulations. How many attorneys?
We have eight lawyers.
Eight, all right.
We have a support staff of about 40.
All right. Now, give us the website, please.
Sure. It's www.munley.com.
And that's not your grandfather's attorney's website, folks, so you check it out when you get a chance. By the way, what states are you licensed to practice in?
I'm licensed in Pennsylvania and New York.
Yeah.
And I do cases in other states, and what you can do is get admitted pro hac vice, which is fancy Latin for.
I was just about to say that. Yeah, go ahead.
Which is for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing
wait a minute. We knew what that meant, Matthew. We know Latin. This is not a dumb bunch of folks. We're smart. We know Latin.
I knew your listeners did.
Yeah, they knew
it
that.
Was you I was worried about.
Hey, back to the the unconscionable part of a contract. Is there any? If I've got some other questions about contracts to ask you, is there anything else that you need? We need to know about that.
Well, I think we mentioned in the last show, we started to talk about this, and what do you do when you're confronted with this, and it's my way or the highway, it's take it or leave it. Well, obviously, if you want the business, you have to take it, and my advice is just document, whether it's an email or a letter, do something to document that they're not giving you the choice, because that is one of the factors that I just went through in procedural unconscionability, and that is the presence or absence of meaningful choice.
Right.
In addition to something that you mentioned was the conspicuousness of the provision. If it's in tiny little print on the back of a form, that's really going to be an arrow in your quiver if you have to end up in court over the thing.
Especially if the whole back page is, the legal page is like 8-point size, single space, no paragraphs. It's just all, run on sentences. I would think that would benefit you. Let me ask you if you could, about this. Matt, this is more of a negotiating thing than a legal thing, I guess. But what I'd like to recommend to small business owners is when you're talking to your business counterpart on the other side, the customer, or the person you're going to be entering into a contract, and they're telling you that they're going to send you a contract that their lawyers are going to prepare, Matthew, I'd recommend that you say to this to your person, okay, great, but now your lawyers are more expensive than my lawyers, and so therefore you're probably going to have a pretty sophisticated contract, and I want you to promise me that if I see something in here in the contract that's not what you and I said, or it looks like it's going to be onerous for me, it's going to be put me in a little bit of a bad situation, I want you to promise me that you'll help me and fight for my side of that. What's wrong with that?
I think that's great advice, and it's going to work pretty much every time you really are at arm's length from who you're trading with, if you have equal bargaining power. But if you don't, if you're just a mom-and-pop shop and you're dealing with a nationwide company that, they have their own legal department who don't care a whit what
right.
the local reps have to say about it, you're not going to have that situation. And you have to do what you can to protect yourself. Now, I will say this. Who drafts the contracts? Sure, they get to stick in whatever provisions they want. But there's a flip side to that, and that there's a provision that if there's any ambiguity in the contract, if a provision can be interpreted in more than one way with a reasonable reading,
mm-hmm.
then the court will interpret that provision against the side that drafted it. So in other words, sometimes mm-hmm. it can actually benefit you that the other side's lawyers drafted the contract,
did the paperwork.
Not you.
Yeah, but I've always felt the other way myself. I would always rather put them on the defensive if I had to. Of course, which is exactly what I was complaining about them doing to me earlier. Hey, Matthew, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Oh, nice to be with you, Jim.
Will you be back another time?
You betcha.
We'd love to get you back. And watch out for those TV guys. They'll spoil you. Thanks,
Take
Matt.
Care.
See you next time. Matthew Cartwright, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be back on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.